Beautiful people, and you do look very handsome and beautiful. God's people always look beautiful. And thank you very, very much for joining us. Good afternoon to all of you, or as we were told, buonasera. Italians like to say good evening in the afternoon. So we will adapt to them, no problem. Great to see you again. Hope you had a good night's sleep. And I hope you enjoyed breakfast and lunch thus far. Have you? Good. I received an email just about a couple of hours ago from Australia. A lady who used to come to the feast in Italy with her two children wrote to me to tell me that they're now settled in Australia and that obviously this year they're going to be going to Australia for the feast. And she said, my boy said to me, Mom, are we going to have as much food as we had in Sabaudia? I doubt it. They've been treating it, the people here in Sabaudia, in this hotel, in Kufra, have been treating us very well for a long time. We have a very special relationship with them. We like them, and they like us. I hope you get to go to Rome. How many of you are planning to go to Rome? Everybody, almost. Rome is a historical treasure in many ways. Beside the Colosseum, everybody wants to see the Colosseum, but they forget one thing, that there is an arch about 50 yards away from it. It's called the Arch of Titus. The Arch of Titus is one of the most historically important arches on earth. Why? Because if you go to that arch and walk underneath it and look up, you will see the army of Titus, who destroyed Jerusalem in 70 AD, return to Rome with the menorah, the table of the showbread, and the trumpets from the temple. It is an unbelievable piece of history. It's an impressive arch that I sincerely hope you will get to see because it is so significant. And I should mention that that's one of the most detestable arches on earth, one of the most detestable structures on earth for the Jews because of what it represents, of course, because it represents the taking of the temple, the destruction of the temple, the taking of the objects from the temple. And they are forbidden to walk under that particular structure, under that arch. Jews cannot walk under that arch because of what it represents. I should mention that Rome at the time of the apostles had a sizable church, which the epistle to the Romans was sent to. Paul says something very special about that church at the beginning of that epistle. Just show you the kind of church we used to have just an hour north of here. Says to all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be his holy people. And then he says, your faith. And please keep in mind that the word faith in Greek is pistis, which has two meanings. Belief and faithfulness. It's a magnificent word. Your faith, that is your faith and faithfulness, is being reported all over the world. How? Simple, because Rome was visited by people all the time. And then they will come for business purposes, whatever purpose, and then they would travel back to their countries and they would report back. And the Christians who would come to Rome from other countries would experience the love and the faith and the commitment of that church just north of us. And then they will go back to report about how magnificent that church in Rome was. The church in Rome was a church filled with faith and zeal, faith and faithfulness. It was a church that was loved by God, but which also attracted the fury of Satan. Because if you're loved by God, there is somebody on the other side who will hate you. Who will hate you. And it was Satan who unleashed his monster called Nero against that beautiful church. Not long after the epistle was written. Not long after the epistle. By the way, do a Bible study. You will see that the most inspiring and uplifting scriptures in the New Testament are found in the book of Romans. Paul wrote us beautiful words, those uplifting words, to the church of Rome, because 5 to 10 years later, they were going to be attacked with a vengeance. And they were just treated in a way that our mind can't even begin to imagine. God's people in Rome were persecuted brutally through the centuries, and our brothers and sisters of the past had to endure the most horrendous trials and tribulations. Just do a search. The treatment of Christians by the Romans. That's if you have a stomach to endure it, because it is revolting what they had to go through. Yes, that beautiful church and others that followed had to endure tremendous trials and tribulations. It was also from Rome that Paul wrote the prison epistles. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Philemon were written during his first imprisonment from where? From Rome, just an hour north of here. Brethren, God had a special church in Rome in the mid-80s. I'm talking about the 1980s. For about 35 years ago, 50 people were gathered once a month in Rome. And I didn't know where we were exactly until I discovered that we were gathering just about 50 yards away from Paul's first prison just was about 50 yards away, and we were meeting right next to it. We don't have a church there now, but we long for the day when we will once again inaugurate the official opening of the Church of God in Rome, as we did in the summer of 1985, 40 years ago. We're celebrating the 40th year of the founding of the three churches, the official founding of the three churches in Italy, Milan, Rome, and Catania. We hope that that day will come again, but I have mixed feelings. Because as I said last night, when we were serving that church in Rome, we were attacked, not in Milan, not in Sicily, but in Rome we were attacked as if somebody hated us. With a vengeance, the trials and tribulations that my wife and I and our children had in Rome for about 3.5 years were unbelievable. Somebody was saying loud and clear, I don't want you here. I don't want you here. So I have mixed feelings. I do want to see the church in Rome start again, but I do have some anxiety. What is he going to be up to this time? But I hope the day will come soon. Now, moving on to the offertory. In Deuteronomy chapter 16:16, which you're familiar with, we are told that on God's feast days, we are not to appear before him empty-handed. We know that. We are faithful about that. Though many of us leave an offering to our local churches, every year, feast attendees around the world show their love, and in this case, show their love for the Italian work, by giving what they can to help the preaching of the gospel to the Italian people and to others who live in this land, because now there's at least 10 to 20% of people who live here in Italy are foreigners. In fact, I would say that probably one third, at least 25% to a third of the people in our church in Italy are really from other countries. So God will not just call Italians, but he will also call others who live in Italy to come into the Italian church. We want to thank you very much in advance for your love and for your support. It means a lot to us. As most of you know, or all of you know, the work in Italy started a new phase about a year and a half ago, during a significant period of stress and uncertainty. Around that time, some members chose not to have any connection with UCGIA and left, while a number chose to remain firm and committed to UCGIA. They're here with you today. The wonderful thing was the fact that the ones who stayed with UCGIA were people with not only great zeal, but also many talents and skills necessary to restart the work quickly and to preach the gospel. We have unbelievably talented people in this Italian group. Those people you saw last night that are a member of the council and others are unbelievably talented. They were able to get things going in no time. And they did amazing things with God's help and God's blessing. In spite of the challenges that had to be faced, the gospel is again being preached in Italy, thanks to an amazing team who relies not just on their abilities, but mostly on God for his guidance, his wisdom, and his power. And I keep on telling them, you want something powerful here in Italy? It better be done by the power of God. Don't think that your skills and intelligence and degrees will be sufficient. The work of God has to be done by the power of God. And I keep on reminding them of that. So, in spite of the challenges that had to be faced, the gospel is again being preached in Italy, thanks to this amazing team. And I am so proud of them. I am so proud of them. They probably get tired of me saying to them how proud I am of them, because I really am. They're just wonderful, wonderful people. Thus, for many months now, the full magazine you have in the States gets translated and published every 2 months. Every 2 months. We have a professional-looking website that is continually being added to. 14 booklets have been translated and published. The Sabbath booklet has been translated and published for the first time. There was a work being done here in Italy, but it was being done in a fuzzy, strange way. How can you do the work of God without a booklet on the Sabbath? There was no correspondence course. The correspondence course has been translated. Thank you, Rebecca. She was the one that was translating. That was last night, has been translated and is being sent out to interested people. People translate. Then you have reviewers. Then you have editors, capable editors, and all sorts of people contribute until the finished product is absolutely excellent. Our presence on YouTube is growing fast. Fast. Mr. Troisi takes a program, Beyond Today program, uses a special translator, AI translator, whatever you call them, and within half an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, David Meyer speaks Italian. I sent an example of this to John Elliott, our president, and I said, John, I didn't know you spoke Italian so well. Because he was speaking Italian in that program, in that sermon. And he of course, appreciated that. By the way, John Elliott has deep roots in this country. he was the one that actually, together with Karen Catherwood, who actually ordained me in 1985, he was the one who did the first seven baptisms of the Karen Catherwood years. I was there translating with him in the pool. I, of course, did the laying on of hands together with him. He has a special attachment to Italy because of that connection and more. So YouTube is growing quickly. As of about 3 months ago, we started a push into the media world, Facebook and Instagram in particular, with surprising positive results. Hundreds of magazines and booklets have been downloaded by people. We were advertising in Milan and Salerno, southern Italy, and all of a sudden we're getting requests from all over Italy. God can do wonderful things. Others have requested the paper version, but mostly people are, nowadays, people just download. And we already have people who are doing the correspondence course, which is absolutely wonderful. As a result, about 7,000 people have visited our website, and over 800 have visited our sermons page, because when we give a sermon, we then post the sermon on our website. We have lots and lots of sermons. If you understand Italian, or you want to learn Italian, go to our sermon, and you will find them. Brethren, the country, this country, as well as other countries, needs hope. They need meaning. They need to know the true church and how to truly be saved. They need to know that God has a stunning eternal hope for all of humanity. You want a wonderful gospel? God loves all of humanity. Is that good news? Is that good news? That he's the God of all of humanity. Jesus Christ, our Lord, has given us a clear directive. Go and preach the gospel to all the nations. And UCGIA is focused on doing just that. UCGIA is an amazing organization. The more I think about what UCGIA has done the past years, it's miraculous. It's just unbelievable. We're not perfect, but God has really blessed what we do. A magnificent scripture which captures the mission as well as the reward for being committed to the mission is found in Daniel chapter 12 and verse 1. Daniel chapter 12 and verse 1. Daniel 12 and verse 1. Talking about the time of the end, at that time, Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people, and there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time. And at that time of trouble, your people will be delivered. The holy ones will be delivered. Everyone who is found written in the book, and many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament. And those who turn many to righteousness, like the stars forever and ever. That is our mission, to turn many to righteousness. To turn many away from demonic idolatry, which abounds in this country and many other countries. To turn many away from false gods. And this country has a lot of false gods called saints. To bring people to the knowledge of the true Ten Commandments, not the ones that I was taught when I was a little boy in Italy. When I was growing up in Italy, I was taught the false commandments. I had to go to Canada to find out that I had been taught, that I had taught the false commandments. I didn't learn it here. To bring many to the knowledge of God's true Sabbath, Brethren, if you open an Italian Bible, it says very clearly that Jesus Christ went to the synagogue on Saturday. See, in English, they use this term called Sabbath, which people can turn any way they want. But there's no way out in Italian. It's Saturday. And I used to read it, and I used to say, Saturday? Wait a minute. It's supposed to be Saturday. They made a mistake. They used the term Saturday to mean Sunday. That's the game I was playing with my head. And other people may be playing the same same game. Teach them about the Holy Feast and to turn them away from pagan ones. You really think that this country only has Christmas and Easter? Italy probably has more holidays dedicated to saints than any other country on the face of the earth. Any town you go to, they have their saints. And in my area, southern Italy, called Calabria, that area is dedicated to Mary. Every town has its statue of Mary. They call it by different names, but it's Mary. We have a mission to bring many people to true holiness. And that's a big mission. Like some of the Israelites who explored the land of Canaan and looked at the size of the enemies, we in Italy could say it's an impossible task. The enemies are many, and they're very strong. Besides the Colosseum, there is another building in Rome. It's called the Vatican. Don't think for a moment that those people in there love us. They'll be our enemies in the future. They will do their best to cause us trouble. But since we serve the God of the impossible, we will tackle the challenge. And with God's guidance and with God's power, we will do his work. We trust that many people in this nation who have an honorable heart will answer God's call and will join the rest of the saints in God's church. We hope that in the future, Italy will be filled with small and possibly even large congregation, who, like their own ancestors who lived in Rome centuries ago, will be loved by God because of their faith and because of their faithfulness, because of their wonderful example, and that once again they will be spoken of throughout the world. We hope that we will reach that point where people will visit the churches in Italy, they will witness their zeal, and they'll go back and say, boy, Their zeal is unbelievable. We hope to reach that again. So thank you again, brethren, for joining us in our quest. Thank you for your financial support, or simply thank you for your prayers. That's lots.